You are listening to another exclusive podcast from Pituitary World News. This is Jorge Facinetti. Welcome. Today, we continue our series of articles and podcasts on telemedicine, also known as telehealth. I thought I'd mention we have published a series of articles on telemedicine. Early in 2018, we did our first look at technology and telehealth. Later, in early December last year, we did an article on the background and benefits of telemedicine for pituitary patients around the world. Also in December, we published a great article by mental health expert and contributor Linda Rio, where she shared some very valuable information on how telemedicine can help patients and family members with mental and emotional health issues. In this podcast, Dr. Louis Blevins will tell us about a recent survey we conducted with physicians to understand their attitudes and perspectives on telemedicine. Welcome, Dr. Blevins.
Thank you, Jorge. It's a pleasure to speak with you again. This was a very interesting survey that we conducted to try to find out how doctors feel about telemedicine. I tried to submit the survey to physicians who are involved in the evaluation and management of patients with pituitary disorders because, after all, that's what we do at Pituitary World News. So the survey was actually put out to a number of endocrinologists and neurosurgeons. And we didn't have many responses. I think everybody's so busy and too busy to fill out surveys. But of the responses that we did receive, there were 17. I think it's a pretty good sample, and it probably wouldn't matter whether we had 1,700, we would probably get the same results. So I think these bits of information that we can glean from these physicians and their perspectives are important and can be applied across probably not all physicians who take care of patients with pituitary disorders, but perhaps all physicians in general as well. So of those 17 physicians, nearly two-thirds of them were in private practice. About 18% were based at university medical practices, and 6% had university affiliations. And the remainder is listed others, so we don't really know what their situations were. Interestingly, just over half the respondents indicated that they practice full-time clinical medicine. Another quarter see patients 75 to 90% of their time. So far and away, most people are very busy practitioners seeing a fair number of patients, according to the results that we were able to obtain. And the breakdown was that about 11% were neurosurgeons and 89% were endocrinologists. Again, there's bias there. We didn't ask general internal medicine or family medicine doctors, but this is a pituitary disease website and affiliated podcast. In regards to the level of clinical activity, about 91% of people said they saw more than 30 patients weekly. We don't know the maximum. Some endocrinologists probably see 100 patients a week, but only 9% saw between 20 and 25 patients per week. And I should state that all the respondents of this survey, 100%, consider themselves to be regular users of social media. So this is a dynamic group of people who are engaged in information technology and devices used to communicate. And I think that sort of represents maybe a group of people who might be more inclined to do telemedicine. And you'll find the results very interesting, I think, in just a moment. So one of the things we asked people was that what were some of the issues that created difficulty in seeing patients with telemedicine in their practices, and far and away the most common response was that most of the laws require in-person examination before telemedicine can be started on a particular patient. So they couldn't do new patient visits with telemedicine. I got the sense that maybe some of the people would like to do that. One other thing that played a role in the use of telemedicine is that one half of the physicians felt that reimbursement for their services was reasonable, and one half felt that it was rather poor reimbursement. Interestingly, of our group, 60% had conducted a telehealth visit in the past. Most are doing 1 to 5 visits per week. 40% had not conducted a telehealth visit, and all of those had indicated that they would be interested in conducting a telehealth visit should they be able to sort out the technology problems, the reimbursement issues, etc. Physicians tended to prefer, about half of them, doing these telehealth visits in their office, and some others were interested if there was a real telemedicine platform that could be secure so that the information couldn't be accessed by a third party and listened to, that might be a reasonable if there was a professional telehealth platform. But most people, I think, felt like they would want to do these telemedicine visits in their offices, probably because of patient security and access to the medical record, etc. We addressed the issue of the types of different encounters that physicians might be interested in conducting a telemedicine visit with their patients, and most of them felt that it might be useful to review laboratory data, to sort of devise a change or a plan and evaluation management based on laboratory data that had come in since the last visit, or that was maybe obtained at the first visit, to sort of review that with the patient and follow up rather than have a face-to-face meeting.
This is really interesting insight from physicians, and I think really very useful as we think about how we can make a difference in this area, the types of things that we need to understand that would make a difference for both physicians and patients. One of the things about this survey that I found interesting was, and I really should frame this comment by saying that our sample size on this particular question was really small. But having said that, I still found it worth noting. And it was the perception of the physician when we asked how they thought the patient would feel about that visit. And in this question, 2/3 of the respondents said they didn't know how patients would feel, or that the patient would be neither satisfied nor dissatisfied with the visit. So the interesting thing is just 1/3 of respondents said that they thought the patient would be very satisfied. I don't know what to make of it. It's not, you know, we probably need a little more data to really understand what's really going on here, but I thought it was interesting anyway. So I just have one more question for you, and that is, what do you feel are the most significant areas for wide acceptance of these telemedicine services on behalf of physicians?
Well, Jorge, as you know, I do telemedicine visits, and I'll talk about my experiences during a future podcast, but based on the conversations I've had with physicians, I think that first and foremost, we're trained to see patients and to see patients face-to-face. And while telemedicine does have a face-to-face component to it, there's so much you can learn by body language and sitting with the person, and you can understand whether they're getting what you're talking about. You can ascertain whether they have additional questions, and there's really no substitute to a live in-person visit between a patient and a physician, and that's sort of the foundation of the doctor-patient relationship since the beginning of time. And telemedicine certainly evolves that, not necessarily in a bad way, but it sort of takes some of the observational tools away from the physician, and maybe, you know, you've got a computer screen as a barrier between the patient and the doctor. Maybe the patient's going to not have the same sense of interacting with a human being that they would if they were in present or in the setting of an office visit, present with the physician in the same room. So I think physicians are a little skittish about that change or alteration or evolution in the doctor-patient relationship. The other thing is, and I do believe that physicians try to protect patient confidential information, and there's concern that you're doing this over the internet, basically, that it might not be as secure. There may be ways to tap into that. There's always people looking at ways to get confidential information about ourselves, and it won't be long before there's an assault on this type of a communication platform, so we need to make sure we keep it secure. I think also present in the physician's mind is, am I going to get paid for this? You know, we all spend a fortune of time and energy and blood and sweat and tears to become physicians, and a fortune in money as well, from the time we graduate from high school till we finish our training and become full-fledged physicians. And there's debt to pay. You know, people deserve an income for the work that they do, and there's a concern that if you try to do telemedicine on a patient and you don't get paid for that, or you get reimbursed at a low rate, that you're basically, you know, cutting your nose off in spite of your face, because if you were to simply have that patient come to the visit, they could be paid. And, you know, let's face it, patient, the way medicine is today, patients pay for healthcare. Doctors pay to become physicians, and patients pay for healthcare. And physicians do deserve an income of some sort based on the work that they provide. It is still a fee-for-service environment. That may all change, but I don't think we're going to get too far away from the fact that medicine will always be a fee-for-service environment, just as is many of the other things in our lives, whether you're hiring a plumber or getting your car worked on or having an accountant do your taxes or whatever. So I think that's a reality, just the way human beings work. And physicians are somewhat concerned about the reimbursement issues. But I think that's down the list of it's third in the things that come to my mind. Otherwise, I'll explore some of my own belief systems about this when I do the podcast relating my experience to the group as a whole.
Well, thank you, Dr. Blevins. This has been, as always, a fascinating discussion, full of really interesting information and always more questions to ask. And also, I want to thank you for all the work you do on behalf of Pituitary Worldviews. It's really great to work with you. And thank you all for listening. And please stay tuned for our patient survey on telemedicine results that will be coming up very soon on Pituitary World News.
Jorge, once again, it's my pleasure to speak with you about these and other topics. Thanks for everything that you do to make Pituitary World News what it has become and what it will become with continued hard work. Have a great day, everybody.